My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can't get enough of the Fan in the Morning?
Shown up.
Because this is nothing like that.
Working.
Al and Jerry are here with stories they'd never get to cover on the morning show.
Very sexy robot.
Hey, look at that pig.
Shenanigans.
Naked yoga.
My mother had a bad experience with these goats.
Let's hump the fence.
It's Al and Jerry's post-game podcast.
All right, where we go on the podcast on this Thursday, Eddie Scazzarian with Al out. What's up, man?
Hello, podcast people.
Was after I parked this morning, I was walking in, and if anybody doesn't know, we have a new entrance to the building because they are doing construction on the front side. So we are now entering this building from a different area, more towards the UPS dockyard and the garages. So there's life and activity. So it's not, I wouldn't say it's the most unsafe place, but
it's safer than what it was.
I agree.
It's not as desolate as that can be.
Not as desolate, and there's people that are out and working.
Correct. And there have at least two like, you know, security-ish people, and they got truckers coming in, and
so there's activity
and more light.
However, as I am walking down the street to turn right onto the block where we come into the building, I noticed in the distance, I don't for the life of me understand this, and I guess maybe because I'm scarred by reading the headlines and you see the bad stuff, two girls that I would say were no more than, I'm going to say 25-ish.
Okay.
Beautiful, dressed quite provocatively, and drunk. And you knew they were drunk with the way they were walking and stumbling and giggling. I'll tell you, Eddie, I don't have girls, and I for anybody that does, I mean, it doesn't, listen, men, boys, girls, whatever, you don't want anybody to get hurt. That's not what I'm saying. It is nuts to be walking around the city at 4 o'clock in the morning without your wits about you. And it just, I don't know, it was one thing I saw this morning, and I'm thinking, what are you guys doing?
It's like blood in the water for sharks.
God, there's so many weirdos running around these. I took a picture this morning and posted on social media. There were a picture of men's underwear on the sidewalk. Used underwear. How did that get there?
Yeah.
Like, what is that exactly? There have been, and the post was essentially, I've seen a lot of things on the New York City sidewalks in the last 25 years. This was a new one for me. But the one thing we do see are disturbed people.
Yes.
People yelling at themselves. We saw the guy chase after Al when he just tried to make a left turn and banged his mirror. I know we're supposed to have more faith in humanity. I was nervous for them.
Yeah, and hopefully they were walking back to the hotel right down the block, hopefully, because then that was
not the direction they were heading in.
No.
Okay. I know what you're talking about. No. They kept going to where it darkens again.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And I'm like, what are you guys doing? And then the other thing was, the other day we were driving in, you might have saw this, you might not have, and it goes to, again, the faith we have in people. I don't know, it's about 4 o'clock in the morning. I don't know what we're thinking. When I got out of the tunnel, I think it was Wednesday or Thursday of last week, I'm coming down Hudson Street, and you know how they have the bike lane? They made the bike lanes, then they have the parking lane.
Yes.
And then the two or three lanes of traffic. So before you get to that parking lane, they have like these little cement sidewalks, if you will, like as a divider, I guess. There were four girls, again, all of the ages no more than 25. One was throwing up and another one was crying. And the other two were consoling the two as they're sitting on that little meeting with cars zipping past them, 3 feet from them.
Yeah.
I mean, you are one bad text or one person not paying attention or falling asleep at 4 o'clock in the morning of not a, like getting killed and run over.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think, what are we thinking? We're not.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we did stupid things when we were young. I don't remember doing anything that stupid.
What was the worst thing you did, would you say?
Gosh.
As let's put this in context, as a 20-year-old, 20-ish.
Oh,
20-ish.
Ugh.
That could have gotten you in serious trouble or injured or jail, whatever.
Yeah, well, probably, you know, just drinking too much.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
like, too excess.
Yeah, and not having my wits about me. But probably the worst was, as a kid in high school, we went into the city to see Rocky Horror when it was still playing all the time.
Yeah.
In the Village. And I got so messed up.
And how old were you? High school? So freshman or senior?
No, this was 17. Okay. I was 16 or 17. So junior year or early senior year or something.
Yeah.
And we actually, we like took the train in from one of our friend's house out in the west or southwest side of Staten Island, and I actually got a summons because we started drinking early, and I got a ticket or a summons for drinking in public at the train station on Staten Island, and that just started the night, and I don't remember.
Well, and now, so you're 17. What do you do with that summons? Because you aren't of legal age.
I know. I don't remember how. I remember... just, I don't know if I had to go to court or
send in a money order or something.
Yeah,
with the ticket.
Something like that. And I don't even remember how I explained it to my parents. Remember, but because that night was such a blackout for me.
Oh, okay. So you were a blackout drunk when you would get
drunk. Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
See, that for me, luckily, I've never gotten to that point.
Mm-hmm.
I don't drink a lot. I don't. But whenever I've drank to excess, I've never gotten to that. Now, I vomited plenty, but I've never blacked out.
Yeah,
to where I don't remember what happened the night before.
Yeah, I could probably have at least 20 times in my life that I've been like blackout.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's scary to me.
Yeah. And that's when I kind of, you know, like I knew I could have a problem.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So I really don't do that anymore. You know, I can stop now, but for many years there, I couldn't or didn't want to,
which is part of the problem.
Yeah, right.
That's true.
And those were some rough nights.
I can imagine. Did you ever? Well, so you blacked out, so probably not. I'm wondering if you ever drank to the point of where you were worried for your health. That you just went too far. But if you black out, you wouldn't have gotten
there. Yeah, no, not never that. Like, you know, I was hurting the next morning for sure.
Okay.
But not to the, like my high school graduation, I was so hungover. Because the night before I got sick on amaretto and orange juice. Oh my God.
That sounds awful.
It does.
Oh my God. You're talking about tearing up your stomach too.
Oh, yeah.
Oof. Oh,
yeah. I was so hungover at my graduation.
Amaretto and orange juice. Okay. In high school, were you, what was it? Did you start with beer or were you like a vodka guy?
No. I never really did. Like, I guess, I don't even know if that's a liqueur. I don't even know what it is.
Amaretto?
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
And
like a black cherry type of liqueur.
Yeah.
I forget what it
is.
Or hazelnut. I forget.
I started with the little Budweiser nips.
Everybody did.
Yeah. And, you know, and I used to drink the whole 8-pack or more. And then, oh, my God, one of the worst hangovers I had, and this is why I don't drink white wine anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I drank 2 cheap bottles of white wine by myself. Ooh. Not like we were in the group. Yeah. I wasn't drinking alone. Wasn't that bad.
Mm-hmm.
And there were many nights when I just consumed so much alcohol, but never the hard liquor because I don't like it.
Okay.
You know, I would have mixed drinks for sure. And I would have many mixed drinks, but never just the straight. And it was always like vodka or rum, never whiskey. I'm not a whiskey person.
Whiskey to me sounds like, just smells like vomit
or
to me.
Or scotch or any of that stuff.
Like I smell gin, it and I get sick. Gin was, I had a phase where I enjoyed the Tanqueray and tonic for a while. But that was a, probably right after I got married. I drank it at my wedding and I started drinking that. And that was a phase though. I kind of got out of that. I'm mostly, and have been, mostly beer, but I do like the tequila. That's the one thing. Vodka makes me sick. The smell of it makes me sick. Gin's okay. Rum makes me sick. Mm. I don't know why, because you would think it's the lighter of the bunch. I can't drink
Maybe
it.
Maybe it's the sugar. I don't know.
The rum and Coke to me is the most disgusting thing. Now, Captain and Coke is different. Captain Morgan spiced rum is different to me. I can drink that. But like regular Bacardi rum, I don't know why it doesn't agree with me. And I'm a friend of mine. That's all he drinks. Mm. Crazy.
And I'm not a tequila guy at all, but I do like a good vodka, like Ketel One, which has like no taste and no smell.
Okay.
So it's
See, I don't know that I've ever tasted a vodka where people, like I feel like I've tried most of them and they all, some might smell harsher than others, but I feel like the taste is very similar. Now people tell me Tito's doesn't have a taste.
Mm. Well, I will say this. I've had Tito's and it's very good, and I've had some of the higher end ones, but and Ketel One is not even like the high. It's a good vodka.
Yeah.
It's not the high end. I don't know, Belvedere.
Belvedere might be, yeah.
But all of those, even the higher ones, Goose, Belvedere, Tito's, they have a taste, a slight one. But for me, Ketel One, not the, any of the flavored ones, but the Ketel One vodka has no taste.
Okay, that's interesting. I like it. I mean, I'm not a vodka guy anyway, so, but I guess if I was going to try it, maybe I would try that.
And I can drink, like can't drink anything like straight, but except for Ketel One, like a vodka martini where it's just ice, vodka, and the olive.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Well, that's how I drink the tequila. Like, I am off margaritas because of the sugar, and it's literally nothing more than just tequila over ice with either like an ounce of cranberry juice, if that, or I want half the lime and I squeeze the lime in it. I think it's fantastic. And I don't, again, the different alcohols for me have different effects. I have no effect with tequila for whatever reason, in terms of getting sick, which makes no sense because you would think that's the first one that would get you sick. Mm-hmm. But it does work for me. That is interesting. The one thing I did that was probably one of the dumber things that could have put me in jail if I didn't end up with a nice cop. My sophomore year of college, I went to Albright to visit my friend at Albright. And, he played baseball and football there. So I went in the winter when it was like in between seasons for him, and he was able to go out on a Saturday night. So I drove up there on Saturday morning. We had a great day. And then we went out to these parties. Well, we kind of got separated because it was nuts up there. And it was party after party after party, drank way too much. No cell phone at the time. Or I might have had one. He didn't. Or he had one. I didn't. I don't remember. But the only way to communicate was to stay together or go to his room. I didn't even know where his room was. Everything's over 1-2 o'clock in the morning. I don't know where he was, didn't know where to go. So I went in my car. It probably would have been February, I would say. It was either February or early December before school let out. I don't remember, but it was cold. And maybe even November, because it was up in Pennsylvania, might have been cold. And I didn't know what else to do. So I went in my car, turned it on. I sat in the passenger side, but put the heat on. It was cold out.
Sure.
About 4 o'clock in the morning, I woke up to knocks on the windows and the flashlights. And I had way too much to drink. And the cop was very nice. Had I been sitting in the driver's seat, he told me not a question in his mind I was being taken in for DUI. He gave me a pass, though, because as he said, I had the wherewithal to sit in the passenger seat. But he still, by the book, should have arrested me for being in a running car drunk and underage.
Yeah.
That would have been, man, if my parents would have gotten a phone call, even though I was 20 or 19 at the time, you're an adult.
Yeah, still.
If my parents would have got a phone call that I was arrested for DUI, oh my God, my dad would have murdered me. But I didn't. And that was probably one of just getting set, not knowing where I was.
Yeah.
I'm walking around, kind of like the girls. Like, you don't know what you're doing, who's around. Right. Like, what am I doing?
Yes, right. No, so right. So you did something very similar to what they were doing.
Yeah, although, I mean, I think mine a little less dangerous than theirs, but still not smart.
For sure, yes.
Still not smart.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm telling you, those days, man, it's hard to think or believe that for you, it's a little longer, obviously. For me, you're talking about 30-something years ago,
mm-hmm.
right? And for you, it's got to be almost, not 40, well, but that, 35 years?
Yeah, no, I'm 57. So, yeah, I was 17. So, yeah. Whatever that is, 40 years ago.
Yeah, 40 years ago. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
I was just talking to Lee Davis. Lee used to be the general manager here, mm-hmm. right, if I remember correctly? Yes. Not here, but in Astoria.
Yes.
Now he's back as like a general sales manager. Just talking to him in the commissary. I am in this building longer than I was in Astoria. Mm-hmm. I was in Astoria from 97 to 09, right? 09 or 10?
Mm-hmm.
09?
09, October.
And now we're here 15 years. And yep. When I think about it, Astoria felt longer to me than this has.
Yeah, and I was Astoria 20 years, so I will not okay. break that.
You will not get there.
No.
Right.
No. So, because I'll be whatever that is. What did we say? 15? So, yeah, 17 years here when I'm done.
When you're done.
And then, but 20 over in Astoria.
20. So, you were what, 88?
89.
89.
And we came here in, I was September. 09. Yeah, September okay. of 89. And then October of 09 to move here.
Interesting. Oh, yeah. That is pretty wild. I was talking to Kim about your retirement. Mm. She can't believe you're retiring.
Mm.
Not because of any reason other than it just seems like you like your job. And
that is a great job.
You know, like, what's he going to do? I'm like, he says he knows. He says he's good.
Yeah.
And I believe you.
And but it's my wife who really wants me to retire.
Yeah.
So, you know, happy wife, happy life.
I hate that phrase.
I know you do.
I hate that phrase with a passion.
Yeah, I know.
But everybody's supposed to be an equal partnership.
Yeah, I understand. But again, this is, you know, it's not easy on her either with, you know, my hours.
Oh, for sure.
You know that.
I pulled a Scazzeri last night. So after here, yesterday was what, Wednesday? Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. After here, I went and met a friend of mine from Rutgers. We played golf at 1 o'clock. I got home around 5:30 or so, and by 6:40, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to lay down. I am going to pull a Scazzeri and see if I can do this. Passed out in like 2 minutes,
mm-hmm.
slept clear till midnight, had to use the bathroom, and then slept again till my alarm at 2:30. How about that?
It's glorious.
It felt great. And there's no question it was I think I told you this, it definitely was the prednisone with the bladder issue.
Yeah. Are you off of it now?
Well, today's my last day with one more pill. I'll tell you what the problem is, though. It ain't
still
gone.
There, yeah.
It's kind of resurfaced. And now I'm concerned I'm going to get off the prednisone. Now what? The doctor I saw my urologist I saw the other day, when he looked at my arm, he goes, he even said, which is what the doctor told me 2 weeks ago, it's the most severe poison ivy or poison oak season they've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
It has got me good. That's for damn sure.
Yeah.
So what else going on?
Hi. I don't know.
That's
what else?
It?
Yeah. I don't know what else is going on.
Yeah, I am. My brain is fried by 10 o'clock. That's why I like Al picks out the topics.
Yes, even with a good night's sleep.
Well, yeah. I mean, I've been, you know, I saw Paul Arzuman outside. He's one of our production guys. Love the guy. He's been around here forever. And I was telling him the other day, like, these days for me, ever since we had the cutbacks here,
mm-hmm.
and I haven't had a tape op out there, I blink and the day's over. I don't hear the show, which no one believes me when I say that, but I don't hear the show. I'm constantly with the headsets on. I'm constantly rolling video and rolling sound. I mean, I would say on a daily basis, I cut between 30 and 50 clips.
Yeah, oh, I know.
Between 6 and 10 a.m. And so by the time I come in here to do the podcast, I have not had time to go look up goofy topics.
Yes.
Or things to talk about, which is why Al seems to have plenty of time to do that, which
yes,
is great.
He does.
Which is great. And then it's very easy to kind of do a podcast full of things that are off topic or maybe you don't think about. For me, it's not so much. I could talk to you about sports, but that's kind of like, ugh.
Yeah, why?
That's boring. No, I'm well aware. So anything else going on? Let me think. No, not really.
Okay.
I'm getting the pool done. Not pool. I'm getting the pool finally removed this week. Fully. That's a good thing. Deck's
and
being
you,
fixed
you,
this weekend.
You will you be able to sell the metal?
So I don't know. I have to call. I did the commercial for PASCAP last
yes.
week, as you remember, which gave me that thought.
Yeah.
I found a couple of places near my house that say they buy metals, and aluminum is one. What I don't know is, is above ground pool aluminum something they would buy, or something, even if they don't buy it, would they pick it up for free so they can do something with it and make money? As long as I don't have to shell out any more money, I'm good.
And do you have a, you wouldn't want to load it into your wife's truck?
No, because I got nowhere. I got to bring it down to Tinton Falls. I got to drive it a half hour. Our town doesn't have one of those things. We have the recycling yard doesn't take things like big aluminum. There's nothing I can do with it. So as long as I don't have to, like the Junket Irishman on Twitter, great dude. He came and picked up a lot of junk I had behind the shed about 7 or 8 months ago. And he offered to come do it. And I do pay him for everybody out there, nothing for free. But I'm like, no, I don't want to waste your time. I don't want to waste the money. I mean, I could get a dumpster, but I think there are companies that'll come take this to sell it, if not pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the one thing I do have to look into, which I haven't yet. I have found between things like that, I'm very bad with, I write stuff down, but I don't do them. Like I need to cancel my Sirius subscription. And only because while it's still a good service, I don't listen to it anymore because of Spotify, this station, whatever else I might listen. I listen to the Fan in Dallas on the Odyssey app a lot. Mm-hmm. So I'm paying like $25 a month for Sirius, which makes no sense. I've got streaming services we don't put on anymore. It's like all this money I just waste. And this is an opportunity to actually make some money. You'd think I would actually make the phone call.
Yeah.
But I haven't.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're not alone in that.
I try not to procrastinate, but I find that I procrastinate more than I think I do.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, we all do.
I know. It's fun, though, when you make the decision to do something and you do it. It's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
It is great.
Al's pretty good about not procrastinating.
He's got nothing else to do.
It's a fair point.
I mean, here's why I procrastinate, and I'm not picking on him. He makes fun of himself for that. Like, what am I going to do between noon and eight? Which is true. When I say I procrastinate, it's because do I want to really do this now, or do I want to go do this? It's not do I really want to do this now, or I could binge something on Netflix. You know, I would say I'm productive with 80% of my time.
Yeah, and he has time enough to, you know, send out a few emails a month to companies because they annoyed him about something.
No question.
Which is really, that's amazing.
It is something. There was one, do you remember what it was on the podcast the other day? He said he was going to write him an email.
I remember you talking about it. I don't remember the specific.
My eyes were in the back of my head. Like, you got to do something else, man.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not like he, you know, we have fun with him, of course, but like he stays active. I mean, he's out walking the dog three, four times a day. He's not like he just really just sits in that condo. But, man, he does just sometimes lock in on things that are, to me, not him, to me, incredibly pointless and a waste of time. To him, it means something. So
it does.
You know what? Do what makes you happy.
That's the key.
I will tell you quickly, selfishly, the calendar is ready. Because I know we had a couple people that called and asked. The calendar is done. Well, you told me, right? Or someone?
Yes. No, someone reached out to me saying, when are they going to be on sale? And you said after Labor Day?
Yes. They're either going to be.
Plan?
I think that's the plan. I could put a pre-sale up earlier, but I don't see any need to do that because here's what happened last year. I do the pre-sale just to have an idea of if it's going to sell or not. Now I kind of know how many I think will sell. So I think I'll just wait and order them this year. But like, last year was funny because I did the pre-sale and in bold letters, it says, you know, calendar pre-sale. And then in the description, it says, this is a pre-sale. Orders are coming in mid-September. People will buy them, one, two, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then the amount of emails I got like a week later, where's my email? Are you ripping me off? Where's my money? Guys, I don't have them. They're going to go out as soon as they come in. And it's funny that you got to explain that.
And as my wife, business owner, similar thing, she'll put big letters of this is what this is,
right?
And descriptions and timing and all that. And invariably, there will be a certain percentage of the customers who don't read it and are like, where is my stuff?
Correct.
Yeah.
It's not in yet, like I said.
Yeah.
So the good thing is the design is done. It's just a matter of me ordering them now, getting them in, and then we will start selling them. So that's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
So that's coming up on the horizon. It's hard to believe it's September. God.
Yeah.
Man, oh, man. Goes quick.
And in terms for you, this is well, at least of doing with me, your last, unless you're going to do podcasts the last week of the summer.
I will.
In terms of thinking up topics. But
yeah, no, I will. I'll do them with Fliegelman's in and Ed's. I like Zoo and Fleegs. Give them some time to do it. If Rascona's in, I'll do one with him.
Okay.
Kind of move it around a little bit. So.
Right.
Maybe yeah, we'll keep it rolling.
Okay.
I don't mind. Unless I have a day, I got to get the hell out of here. So. All right, that's it. This is me with, believe it or not, the warm-up show today was a potpourri of things. If you listen to the show this morning with Boomer and Geo, Chris McMonagle was featured on the show because he got involved in the warm-up show. It's me, it's Al, it's Eddie, it's McMonagle, and then me and Fleegs at the end. So that's coming up next, and then we'll see you tomorrow on a Friday. Eddie, do your thing.
See ya.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northside's and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.